The Lord Jesus goes down to the Jordan River to be baptized, along with, presumably, a large number of people. And as he's there, they're all baptized, and the heavens open, and the Holy Spirit comes down in bodily form, St. Luke tells us, like a dove. And then Jesus hears the voice of his Father in heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." It's interesting how pivotal of a moment in Jesus' life this is. We know that in the Gospels there's very, very little that is told to us about Jesus' life before his baptism. Matthew and Luke give us narratives about Jesus' birth and how that came about. And Luke tells us about the time when Jesus stayed back in Jerusalem at the temple while Mary and Joseph started heading home. But other than that, we know nothing of the first 30 years of Jesus' life. But once he's baptized, then we have all of this information about what he did and what he said and the message that he came to proclaim. So for Jesus, his baptism is a very, very important moment. This is a turning point in his life where he hears his Father in heaven saying to him, "You are my beloved Son, and I am well pleased with you." And it's because Jesus is able to live out of that knowing that he is God's beloved Son. It's in his ability to live out of that that all of his ministry flows. See, the church gives us the feast of the baptism of the Lord not only for us to remember that this happened to Jesus, but because what happened to him is the pattern for all of us who are baptized. And many of us, maybe even most, were baptized as infants, and we have no recollection of our baptism at all. But nevertheless, at the moment of our baptism, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon us. And with the ears of faith, if you will, we could hear the voice of God in heaven saying, "You are my beloved child, and I am well pleased with you." And it's in our ability to remember that we are beloved children of God that we can live the Christian life. Here's the difference between Jesus' baptism and ours. Jesus never forgot that he was the Son of the Father. He always thought and spoke and acted out of that reality of being God's beloved Son. Whereas we, on the other hand, sometimes our thoughts and our words and our actions stem from that knowledge of being children of God, but not always. We forget that we are loved, that we are children of God, and that is how, you know, that is the basic fundamental reality of our life, out of which flows all of our thoughts and words and deeds. We forget. We go astray. Sometimes we turn deliberately. But God, in his great wisdom and in his mercy, has given us a way to be restored to our initial baptismal grace. Jesus never needed to be restored because he never left, so to speak. But we are broken. We're weak. We sin. We need the restoration of that baptismal status. I mean, we're always children of God. But our sin can not only weaken us, if it's serious, it can actually lead to the death of the life of charity in our soul. We lose that grace of baptism where God filled us with his life. But see, Jesus gave us a sacrament to be restored to that state. And that, of course, is the sacrament of reconciliation. We don't usually associate confession with baptism that much. But confession is precisely what brings us back to that purity of soul that we had on the day of our baptism. We are restored. We are made fresh. We are purified and renewed and cleansed. Now, some people, of course, say, well, God can forgive me without the sacrament of confession. I don't have to go to confession in order to be forgiven. And strictly speaking, that is true. God can forgive us without the sacrament. However, there is something about the sacrament of reconciliation that is much more powerful than simply kneeling by our bed at night and saying, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me. There's something powerful in the encounter of the sacrament where we can hear someone who has been, you know, sent to offer the Lord's forgiveness. We can hear that person, that priest, say to us, I absolve you. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. I was thinking about different ways or different things in our day-to-day life that are similar to this reality. You know, let's say we go and our hands get dirty in the garden or wherever. We go inside and we wash. Well, once our hands are clean, we don't say, oh, thank heavens I never have to do that again. My hands are just going to be clean for the rest of my life now. Or you get sick, you go to the doctor, you get some medicine, you get well. Do we think, oh, I'm never going to have to go to the doctor again because I'm never going to get sick? You go to the dentist for a cleaning. You go away, oh, it's so nice to have such a nice clean mouth, nice clean teeth. Do we say, I'm done with that now. My teeth are going to be just great from now on. No, we realize, and this is true for so many different things, washing dishes, washing our clothes, cleaning the house, even in relationships, in marriages, in friendships. Those relationships get damaged. We say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. But when we do that, we don't say, whew, I'm glad I never have to do that again. No, we all know that these relationships take work. And when there's a moment of cleansing, we're thankful for that. But we realize we're probably going to have to be cleansed and renewed again. So why is it, when it comes to our relationship with God, that we can look at our baptism, where we're cleansed from our sins, made children of God, and we sort of say, all right, I think God and I are good now, no matter what happens. I can do basically anything, and God's going to be okay with that. Well, in our life, our spiritual life, we need that cleansing. We need purifying and renewing and strengthening. And the sacrament of confession is a wonderful way to bring that about. Is it the only way? No. The Catechism, the Church, teaches us that if we've committed a serious sin, then we must go to confession and be reconciled, especially before we approach Holy Communion. But we can approach the sacrament of confession even for venial sins, even for less serious sins. I think I've told you before, some of the holiest people I know are people who go to confession all the time, every week. And that's not because they're these terrible sinners. It's because they know they need the help. They need the grace of God. We all need the help and the grace of God, not only for forgiveness, but also for strengthening. Strengthening. See, when we sin, it's kind of like these little blockades maybe go up. And it becomes more and more difficult for us to hear the voice of God saying, you are my beloved child. I am pleased with you. And therefore, it makes it more difficult for us to live out of that reality. It makes it more difficult for our thoughts and our words and our deeds to glorify God and to help us grow in holiness. But receiving the sacrament of confession, of reconciliation, helps to bring down those barriers so that we can hear once again our loving God saying to us, "You are my beloved child, and I am well pleased in you." Can we be good people without the sacrament of reconciliation? Yes. I know lots of good people who never go to confession. But you know, God is calling us to be more than good. He's calling us to be holy.